afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We're at a point now. We can't turn back. We're at water capacity now.
An increase in sewer rates in Moorhead had concerned citizens seeking answers.
Moorhead's fire department has a new ladder truck.
Flooding in Carter County this weekend was not as damaging as last year's flooding.
Moorhead State University is refinancing a loan to save almost $2 million.
No one was injured when a car crashed into an apartment building in Lexington.
In sports, the Reds return home for Game 2 with the Indians tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 64 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Recent 39% increase to Moorhead Utility Plant Board sewer rates spurred debate during last night's City Council meeting. The Council heard opinions from several Moorhead residents. Some said the rate increase should have been more gradual, a small percentage each year. Others said the board should have looked into more grant funding. MUPB General Manager Holly McGrath-Rosas said this substantial increase in the result of long-time deferred maintenance. The additional funds will allow the board to improve aging infrastructure.
We're a government subsidy, so everything that we do is to sustain operation and put back in the system. So the rate increases are to fund all of these loans that we're going to have to take out over the next 5 to 10 years to fix things.
MUPB sewer rates have only increased 3 times in the past 30 years.
Firefighters in Moorhead are training this week with the city's new ladder truck. The million-dollar addition to the fire department's fleet was delivered on Thursday, and the department started training right away. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says the controls make the truck a lot safer.
With our old truck, the back seats were actually open to the weather, and you didn't even know if they had their seat belts on. You couldn't even communicate or see them, and they didn't even have shoulder seat belts on the old apparatus. So safety features is the biggest components, I think, built into this.
The new ladder truck replaces a 35-year-old truck that has been in service in Moorhead for years. Anderson says that truck will now serve as a backup.
Carter County's top official says flooding in Grayson over the weekend was not as bad as it could have been. Just last summer, the county fairgrounds flooded during a bluegrass festival, destroying hundreds of vehicles. Judge Executive Mike Malone says while the county fair had to be shut down, no one was in danger when the water rose Saturday afternoon.
We used some equipment to help the, because it's just grass out there, but the water might have got, knee high at work. We had to help some of the vehicles get out of there, but as far as evacuation, that wasn't the case. There wasn't anybody trapped.
Malone says he is surprised to see the fairgrounds flood for 2 straight years.
Moorhead State University's Board of Regents agreed to modify a financial agreement on an old loan, a move that could save the university nearly $2 million in the first 5 years. The board considered a loan taken out by the university in 2014 to finance and upgrade the university's technology infrastructure. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan told the board that in spite of a favorable loan rate, the university is looking for ways to save money.
Our debt really is between now and the next 15 years in duration, with a little bit spanning over the end of that 15-year mark. And you could almost look at it as a stair step down about every 5 years. Right now, our debt service payments are $10 or $11 million, roughly, a little over $10 million. We'd like to get those annual debt service payments down.
The board agreed to allow Morgan to refinance the loan, which would help cut costs by $30,000 each month. Morgan says institutional bonds will be assessed next.
Moorhead State University's Small Business Development Center in Pikeville has moved. The center has relocated to MSU at Prestonsburg. Michelle Spriggs is the director of the SBDC. She says the center will still see clients in Pikeville.
We will be seeing them there at the Pikeville Economic Development office typically 1 or 2 days a week. Those appointments are available by calling our Prestonburg office at 783-2681.
The SBDC provides one-to-one counseling to help entrepreneurs start, fund, and grow their new or existing small businesses. The Prestonburg SBDC offices serves Breathitt, Floyd, Johnson, Knott, Lee, McGoffin, Martin, Owsley, Pike, and Wolf counties. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the city park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
Police in Floyd County arrested a man last week they say had thousands of dollars in counterfeit money, pills, and a meth pipe. According to WYMT, Cody Carroll was charged with DUI, first-degree possession of a controlled substance, three counts of third-degree possession of a controlled substance, possessing drug paraphernalia, and criminal possession of a forged instrument. In addition to the drugs police found, they also found more than $6,000 in counterfeit money.
No injuries have been reported after a car smashed into a Lexington apartment building late last night. According to WKYT, the car slammed into the building on Cambridge Drive around 11 p.m. The Lexington Fire Department says 10 to 12 units were occupied at the time. The car smashed through the wall of a person's bedroom, but that resident was not in the room at the time. No charges have been filed.
A man has been charged by the Lexington police for allegedly stealing from multiple vehicles in the downtown area. According to LEX 18, 26-year-old Travis Asher was arrested last week and charged with four counts of theft from a vehicle, one count of theft of a controlled substance, and two counts of drug possession. Police were able to identify Asher as a suspect from surveillance video. An investigation is still ongoing.
Kentucky authorities say they ended a state contract with a local elected official after determining he threatened to burn down the governor's home and, quote, choke to death a state employee. But a lawyer for Floyd County Attorney Keith Bartley called the accusations baseless and part of a, quote, unprovoked and reckless attack to punish Bartley for campaigning for Republican Governor Matt Bevin's Democratic opponent in the 2015 election. The state contracted with Bartley to collect child support payments in Floyd County, but last month, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services ended that contract with no explanation. Bartley sued, arguing state law requires county attorneys to collect child support payments on behalf of the state. On Monday, the state sent a letter to Bartley telling him it ended the contract because of his behavior. The commissioner of the Department of Income Support says Bartley's office failed to meet goals for collections, which would give the state grounds to end the contract.
The first week of the Kentucky State Police Academy's latest cadet class is underway in Frankfort. The agency says in a statement that 61 recruits reported for 25 weeks of training that started Sunday. Cadets will complete more than 1,000 hours of study that includes criminal investigation, high-speed vehicle pursuit, weapons training, hostage negotiations, and other topics. State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders said there were 56 retirements in July, so those who graduate the class will help replenish the ranks. Police said 55 cadets are male and 6 are female, 1 is Hispanic and 1 is African American. The agency says the training is mentally and physically challenging and that historically, 35% of cadets don't complete the program. The class is tentatively scheduled to graduate on February 1st.
Governor Matt Bevin met with the Chinese ambassador to the U.S. yesterday. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the leaders were slated to discuss additional foreign investment in the Commonwealth.
Chinese Ambassador Shui Ting Kai met the governor in April at a China-U.S. business summit in Chicago. Now the diplomat is making his first trip to Kentucky to meet with Bevin, elected officials, and local business and economic development leaders. The meeting comes as China recently unveiled $60 billion in new tariffs on American goods. Despite the trade war tensions between the U.S. and China, Bevin told Chinese network CGTN that he remains hopeful about relations between the two countries.
I'm highly optimistic because I know that if we don't find resolution, both sides lose. There is going to be change, no question. You can't have hundreds of billions of annual trade imbalance between major powers and expect not to have change. There will be change. There needs to be change.
The administration says seven Chinese-owned companies employ nearly 8,200 people in Kentucky. China is ranked as the state's fourth largest trading partner. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Amid calls to return campaign dollars from the Political Action Committee of embattled Congressman Chris Collins, 6th District Representative Andy Barr says he's planning to donate $3,000 to a veterans charity. Last week, progressive PAC American Bridge urged Barr to return an alleged $3,000 contribution from the PAC of New York Republican Representative Chris Collins, who has been indicted on charges related to insider trading. Collins suspended his re-election campaign on Saturday. Asked about calls to return the funds, Barr told WUKY he's going to donate the money.
Of course, we respect our system of innocence until proven guilty, of course. But our intention is, in light of these developments, to donate $3,000 to a veterans charity. We have not yet determined what charity, but we're moving towards that goal.
Federal prosecutors have charged Collins and two others with conspiracy, wire fraud, and other violations. The congressman has denied any wrongdoing.
Democratic candidate for Kentucky's 6th congressional district, Amy McGrath, had some words for Representative Andy Barr after he released an ad about her. Barr said McGrath would serve as a rubber stamp for the Democrats' agenda last week. McGrath responded with her own ad asking Barr, quote, "Is that all you've got?"
I'm Amy McGrath, and you've probably seen the inevitable attack ads that try to say I'm not like you, that I'll go to Washington and vote the party line. I want to say to Andy Barr, seriously?
McGrath says she doesn't believe in party lines, and there's nothing a party leader could say to force her to do anything.
As school starts back for many children in Kentucky, the risk of identity theft is especially high for students. Children are particularly vulnerable to this because of their clean slate and lack of credit history, and may not find out for years after if their identity has been stolen. Heather Clary is director of communications with the Better Business Bureau. She says one way to help prevent identity theft is to make sure devices and accounts are all protected with unique and secure passwords.
Make them long and strong, we say. Have a mixture of numbers and letters in them. And do not use the same password for multiple accounts, because once they guess one, they can get into all the other ones. That may sound troublesome, but it's really the safest way to go.
As for college students, Clary recommends students keep track of their credit or debit cards at all times. She says checking credit scores can help identify any suspicious activity.
Taking a look at area temperatures here in our listening area, it's 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 86 degrees in Lexington and in Winchester, also in Inez, 88 degrees in Ashland, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 86 degrees. On our feature segment today, a commission that helps control water quality in the Ohio River Basin is looking to shed some of its duties. But as Mary Sherman explains, it's an idea that's raising some concerns.
For 70 years, the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission, known as ORSANCO, has set standards for pollution levels in the river to ensure the water is safe for drinking and recreation. But now commissioners say their standards are redundant, as state and federal EPA programs also have standards. Environmental scientist Dr. Randy Poplinick says it's problematic since the Ohio River is still one of the most polluted in the country.
How can you be redundant on testing the drinking water for 5 million people? I would rather err on the side of double testing than not testing at all. And several states don't even test for some of the parameters that ORSANCO tests for.
ORSANCO is made up of commissioners from Kentucky and seven other states. And Poklenik says it has 188 testing criteria that six states and the US EPA lack. The commission takes public comments on its proposal to decrease its authority until next Monday, August 20th. In the absence of ORSANCO standards, Hank Grady with the Kentucky Sierra Club is convinced that state pollution levels will vary, which can't help but affect overall water quality in the Ohio River. He says at a time when the federal EPA is trying to weaken the Clean Water Act, ORSANCO needs to hold on to its standards and expect states to comply.
We do need a federal level, an interstate waterway level and a state level, and those are not redundant. Those are coming at it from different directions, and we need everything we can muster to clean up the Ohio River.
Grady adds that dropping the standards not only threatens drinking water, but also recreation on the river and the resulting tourist revenue.
Louisville, Northern Kentucky, and Cincinnati, Owensboro have all made major investments to try to get people back to the river, swimming and canoeing and boating, and yet we still have pollution problems that can make people sick and that can cause injury to aquatic life.
Orsenko argues that without having to focus on water quality standards, its scant resources could be directed to other duties, such as public outreach and spill mitigation and response. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
It's 4:46 and 86 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
It's 0-1 for the Reds. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds are back for Game 2 in their home series against the Cleveland Indians this evening. The Reds had a rough go last night, falling to Cleveland 10-3, tagging Cincy pitcher Homer Bailey for 5 runs and 10 hits in 5 1/3 innings. Bailey tells Fox Sports Ohio that while he did have some bright spots, the Indians were really on the ball.
You know, what did we have? One walk? That was an intentional one. I was kind of pitching around that guy. I wanted to go after Brantley, maybe close to a strikeout an inning or something like that. So you see some positives here and there.
Game time this evening is set for 7:10. The Round County Senior High School football team is continuing to prepare for opening day this week. The Vikings have been practicing in addition to a couple of scrimmages in the preseason. Rowan head coach Kelly Ford says there's a lot planned for Friday.
Morgan County played here Friday, first home game opener. Probably going to do some special things for some special people around the community that we had lost this past year. Gary Jennings, that was our chain crew guy, over 20-plus years, that passed away this past year, and then also with Justin Graham and then Keith Prater.
Game time is scheduled for 7:30. In other area high school football news, Week 1 kicks off around the region Friday. East Carter hosts Magoffin County, Lewis hosts Greenup, and Fleming hosts Harrison. The Rowan Vikings will host Bath County next week. The Wildcats are off for Week 1 of regular season play. As the NFL preseason continues, the Chicago Bears have signed first-round draft pick Raekwon Smith after a holdout by the linebacker over his contract. Smith reportedly has agreed to a 4-year contract that guarantees $18.5 million and includes an $11.5 million signing bonus. The Bears have not disclosed the terms of the deal. Smith was the number 8th overall selection in April's draft after starting at Georgia. Miami Dolphins 4th-year wide receiver Devontae Parker has a hand injury that has kept him from training camp practice for 2 days in a row. He suffered the injury Monday during 11-on-11 drills. Dolphin head coach Adam Gase said it appeared that Parker got his hand stuck in Xavien Howard's shoulder pad when the cornerback tried to break up a pass intended for Parker. And the Washington Redskins made a surprise move today, 3 weeks into training camp, by releasing veteran cornerback Orlando Scandrick, who signed a 2-year deal with Washington in March after being cut by the Dallas Cowboys and had been practicing with the first team defense. The Morehead State women's basketball team has made a new addition to their coaching staff. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Kenton County native Abby Owings will be joining the Eagles for the 2018-19 season as a graduate assistant. Owings was a 2-time national champion at Thomas More College and became the school's all-time leading scorer, finishing with 1,789 points. She graduated from Thomas More with a bachelor's degree in educational studies and a minor in communications. At Morehead State, Owings will be pursuing a master's degree in adult and higher education. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Morehead State volleyball sophomore Lauren Roki has been named preseason All-OVC, the league announced today. The Eureka, Illinois native ranked among Ohio Valley Conference leaders in kills, ranking 6th in kills per set and 10th in total kills. Roki also ranked 8th in the league in points per set and 10th in total points. Morehead State gets the season rolling Friday, hosting Bellarmine at Weatherby Gym in the team's only exhibition match. First serve is set for 6 p.m. In local volleyball news, the Round County Lady Valkyries host Raceland tonight at 7 p.m. in the season opener for both teams. Fleming hosts Harrison County, Bath County heads to East Carter, and West Carter travels to Ashland Blazer. The Round County boys soccer team travels to Bourbon County tonight. The Vikings stomped Menifee 9-1 in their season opener last night. Fleming County travels to West Carter at 7 p.m. in the season opener for both teams. The Lady Comets and the Lady Panthers will face off at 8 p.m. In other high school girls soccer action, Bath County hosts Boyd tonight at 6:30. East Carter is coming off a season opening loss to Johnson Central, and the Lady Raiders host Lawrence County tonight at 7. A recent partnership between the Ashland Area YMCA and the Eastern Elite Soccer Academy is expected to translate into growth for young players. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The partnership will allow recreational soccer players at the YMCA to undergo advanced coaching. YMCA Sports and Fitness Director Kevin Busick tells the Daily Independent the partnership will also increase the players' technical skills and understanding of field play. Local youth soccer players now have the option of either playing for the YMCA as they always have, or they can participate in the partnership where they will receive 10 training sessions with the Eastern Elite staff, along with the ability to play 6 YMCA games. For more information, email Busick at kbusick@ashlandareaymca.org. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson.
And lastly in sports, Hollywood Casino in Charleston is the first casino licensed to offer sports betting in West Virginia. The West Virginia Lottery Commission made the announcement Monday. Commission legal counsel Danielle Boyd told the Charleston Gazette-Mail the casino expects to start accepting bets September 1st after installing software and training employees. Boyd said two other casinos are planning to launch in early to mid-September and two more several weeks later. She said the state should have a regional monopoly on sports betting for now, despite a delay in the commission's target launch of September 1st at all 5 casinos. Boyd said she expects sports betting to bring people to West Virginia to place wagers either at the casinos or other venues. She says it'll also prompt people to wine, dine, and stay the night. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as a rebound in the Turkish lira from an all-time low lifted investor sentiment. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a nice gain of 112.22 at 25,299.92. The S&P 500 was up 18.03 at 2839.96, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 51.19 at 7870.89. Tech shares contributed to the gains as Apple and Amazon both rose. Bank stocks also contributed very nicely today as Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley all closed more than 1% higher. The Turkish lira rose about 8% after falling to a record low yesterday. The currency has been under pressure recently as market watchers became jittery over rising tensions between Turkey and the U.S. And, of course, last week, U.S. President Trump said that he supported doubling metal tariffs on Turkey, which certainly added to the pressure on their currency. Emerging market shares followed the lira higher today. The iShares MSCI Emerging Markets Exchange Traded Fund rose about 0.4%, ending a four-day slide. Turkish stocks led the gains in emerging markets as the iShares MSCI Turkey Exchange Traded Fund itself was up 11%, notching its biggest one-day gain since 2008. In earnings news, Home Depot reported second quarter earnings and revenue that easily topped Wall Street estimates. The company also raised its full-year earnings outlook. The stock briefly traded higher before falling 0.5%. And in the commodities markets, oil was down only 2 cents at $67.18 a barrel. Gold was up 2.7% at $1,201.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were flat as the Stock 600 index actually finished unchanged. The Nikkei in the Far East stocks were mixed today, with the Nikkei up 2.25%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walgreens and McDonald's, while the worst performers were Intel and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Tapestry and Advanced Auto Parts, while the worst performers were Microchip Technology and Wynn Resorts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 42 cents at $84.79, CSX up $1.09 at $73.70, AK Steel down 9 cents at $4.18, Marathon Petroleum up 2 cents at $80.11, AEP up 8 cents at $71.02, and Anthem was up $1.95 to finish at $264.89. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking another look at the weather tonight, mostly clear with a low around 66 degrees. Wednesday, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. Wednesday night, a 10% chance of showers before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Thursday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 87. Chance of showers is at 30%. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely, and possibly a thunderstorm after 11 p.m. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures again. Flemingsburg, 85 degrees. Lexington, 86 degrees. Winchester, 86. Inez, also 86. Ashland, 88. And Moorhead, it's 86 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the Moorhead Theater Guild will hold auditions for Assassins to be presented November 2nd through the 11th. Auditions will be held at the Rowan County Arts Center from 6 to 8:30 p.m. tonight and on the 17th. And at First Christian Church in Moorhead from 6 to 8:30 p.m. on August 16th. Auditions will consist of cold readings from the script and singing from tracks provided. More information online at moorheadtheater.org.
The MSU Star Theater presents three programs for MSU Night this Thursday. MSU students, faculty, and staff are admitted free with a valid ID. The planetarium program features Forces of Nature at 6 p.m. Laser shows begin at 7 and 8 p.m.
Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, will host Deck, Dice, and Dominion, an afternoon of tabletop games from 3 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 18th. The event is free and open to anyone ages 12 and older.
There will be a community square dance at the Rowan County Arts Center from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, August 22nd. All ages and ability levels are welcome. Music provided by the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. Abby Huggins from the Hinman Settlement School will be the caller. Admission is $3 and free to students.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling invites you to a birthday celebration for composer Leonard Bernstein. That'll be on Friday, August 24th at 7 p.m. Presented by Moorhead State University alumni and featuring his Broadway and classical music compositions, limited seats are available. Tickets are $20 online at grackentucky.org. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from KNC's Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHNI News. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.